Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Well, what an honor to be here. Avina Molcheno, I just ask that any words that I share today would be pleasing and acceptable to you and minister to each of us here who have a need at this moment. B'Shem Yeshua. What a tough situation we find ourselves in. Think about this. It's 2018. We've read a story about a guy who's 500 years old who was told, I want you to build a boat. Who knew? What was a boat? Supposedly hadn't rained before, right? The earth was beautiful and it was pastoral, but it had been completely infected by sin. And there was one guy left who Hashem looked down on the earth and said, that guy's righteous. I'm going with that guy. So he communicates to that guy, whose name is Noach, and he says, hey, I want you to build an ark. And I want you to gather your family together. I'm going to bring you all the animals. I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to bring a flood. Not for nothing, but if God calls me up in the middle of the night and says, I'm going to do this, I'm, excuse me, do you have the wrong number here? Are you serious? And by the way, who are you? Think about this. So we are to believe in this century that this actually happened. Well, believe it or not, something like this really did happen, because if you look in all the historical religious contexts that have been written about human history, we find a reference to a flood. We find a reference to judgment and the complete and utter destruction of the world with 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 10 people left. Wow. So when we think we have it bad, and I'm mostly talking to my brothers here this morning, you got no worries compared to what these guys had. I'm told you're supposed to build an ark. Anybody remember Bill Cosby before he went off the rails? He had one of the funniest shticks ever. Noah. And Noah's out there with a saw. Voompa, voompa. Who's there? It's God, Noah. Voompa. Seriously, right. And the whole thing goes on and on, but it points out that we as men have problems listening to direction. I have always had problems listening to direction. I used to hide behind all kinds of stuff. And what I'm going to share with you is deeply personal, but I hope it ministers to you. I was raised in a family that was incredibly wealthy. We lived on an estate near Beverly Hills that George Sanders built, an acre of land in West LA for his wife, Zsa Zsa Gabor. It had a full swimming pool. It had a full cabana. It had a full championship tennis court. It had a full guest house. It had 6 bedrooms. It had hedges all the way around it. And here I am growing up in Southern California, hanging out with friends. Most of my friends were Jewish. So I went to shul with them because I didn't know any better. And yet my parents wanted to raise us as Catholic children. Interesting. So I would go to Catholic Mass on Sundays, but I'd hang out with all my Jewish buddies in synagogue at Beverly Hills. And it wasn't until a little later in life when I was becoming an altar boy at the age of 7, and I said, I can't be here next Saturday because I'm going to be with my friends at shul, that the Monsignor looked at me and said, you're going to go where? You're going to do what? And I explained to them that most all my friends are Jewish and I'm going to the synagogue to learn all the cool stuff that, and he almost had a stroke. He said, didn't you know those guys killed Jesus Christ? At which point I came away with the conclusion that the Catholics must have gotten something wrong in the text. Because last I heard, the Romans did that. So now fast forward, I don't get to see my mom and dad because they're running around the world, spending money, having a great time. They're going to places to open stores to sell something called the contour chair. Many of you have seen the Barco lounger where you kind of lay in it and then you press a button and it kind of elevates your legs. That was my parents' company. It was called the contour chair. And in fact, my mom and dad were so successful, my mom was called the most successful young entrepreneur in America by Kiplinger's Changing Times in 1960. By 1964, we had lost the business. In 1962, I remember having Bozo the Clown come to my home as part of my birthday. And all my friends, Bozo the Clown, we had a tent, we had the whole, the Bozo the Clown, not some imposter. The following year, after my parents had lost everything, literally everything, because the contract they had was declared invalid, and therefore the furniture company could sell to whomever they wanted, and they lost their exclusivity. I got a box of Cracker Jack and a hug from my mom and dad saying happy birthday. Don't feel too bad, we still lived in a home in Beverly Hills. And then the sad reality is we have to move because now the litigation is coming. So my parents focused their attention on raising their two sons somewhere away from Southern California. And we went to the place that they knew a couple of people. I grew up in Oklahoma City. Has anybody ever been to Oklahoma City? It's a beautiful town, but if you're coming from Southern California, it is the reverse story of the Grapes of Wrath. We went from luxury to living in a place where people speak funny and they have red dirt. And it snows, and it's cold, and it blows like hell with cold wind all through the winter. It's a miserable place most of the time. And here we are living in this little three-bedroom home in northwest Oklahoma City, and I can remember never once wondering why. And here's the message. When I was a little boy and I would go into synagogue and I'd see the Torah lifted, something hit. When I would go into church and I'd see the priest lift the sacraments and look at the cross with the image of Jesus hanging on the cross, something happened. And I thought, you know, you got to believe something in life. So I'm going to believe that he came here to fix this mess. And it's our job to believe him. Does that resonate? We as men are generally burdened with a lot of crap in our lives. We've been told somewhere along the way we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not tall enough. We're not skinny enough. By the way, you like my new skinny look? Okay. Here's where that came from. About 6 months ago, my wife and I were having a conversation. I looked in the mirror and I said, boy, you are really fat. And then I thought to myself, now how does the Lord see me? And I put that to him and I said, all right, Lord, what do you want to do? And he goes, you're a little fat. And I don't want you embarrassing me anymore. I didn't take that personally, but I took it in another way. You see, I've been put in a position of authority representing an entire industry in North America, actually in the world. Because I've been doing this for 42 years, I am like the head of the Natural Products Association. So Walmart, GNC, Vitamin Shoppe, all these major companies, Bayer, all of them rely upon me to sit in front of Congress and explain to them, this is how we should regulate our industry. This is how we should start treating our products. This is how we can reduce our healthcare costs in America from over $1 trillion to a third of that. And here's how we need to start living our lives. When you're 285 pounds, it's kind of hard to carry that message. But when you're 240 and look as fabulous as I do, I'm just telling you, part of it is self-affirmation. And what I'm trying to share with you guys is, it's time to do an inventory. What have you been told in your life, and by whom, that you need to pull that arrow out of your back? Who told you you weren't good enough? Who told you you did not have the capacity to succeed? Who told you you weren't righteous? Was it the adversary, or was it one of his emissaries? Or was it a family member taking on the position of adversary at that moment? Where did that poison enter our systems that gave rise to this self-doubt? Go from $1 million estate to a $30,000 house. We used to shop at a company that was before Gelson's. It was like this enormous market in Beverly Hills, and we used to go there and thought nothing of spending hundreds of dollars. In 1965, living in Oklahoma City, my father had lost the last $100,000 we had to our name in a stock fraud. So now we got a real problem. We're living in a little house. We have no income and no resources. And my mother and I decide, they throw food away at the local grocery store. Let's go dumpster dive. And for 4 months, that's how we lived. We went and got day-old bread that was 4 days old, and we got stuff that was a little brown on the edges, and some of the meat that looked, you know, you find out when meat goes bad, you can dig around the corners and get some good stuff in the middle. I'm standing here before you as a result of God's grace and nothing else. Nothing that I have done other than to accept the call, which is in the Torah and in the Gospels and in the Haftorah and in every writing that has ever mentioned Hashem or Yeshua. He calls to us to be who we were created to be. Not some facsimile, but an authentic man. One who will honestly admit his failings, ask for forgiveness when it's necessary, and own his crap when he has it. I'm not rebuking you guys. I've lived in the shadows too long. I've hidden from my own failures. One of my greatest problems that I had young in business, after I graduated from the University of Oklahoma, I got the hell out of Oklahoma. No offense to Oklahoma, but you can't surf in Oklahoma, so I moved back to Oceanside, California. When I moved there, I realized, this is kind of something I need to sink my teeth into. I wanted to go to medical school. I was a scrub tech for 3 years, working nights and weekends and doing the Friday night knife and gun club at a teaching hospital in Oklahoma City. I've probably put more people together with stitches than you'll ever operate on. Hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds. I was making $1.63 an hour, and all I wanted to do was be a surgeon. And all of my friends who were surgeons said, you got to go to med school. So I applied to 7 schools. Now, those 7 schools were right in the height of the Bakke era. Do you remember the Bakke era? The Bakke era was named after a young man who was lightly complected like I am, who tried to go to medical school and could not. Because medical schools at that point were trying to basically make up for 100 years of discrimination. So they were actively seeking women and minorities and foreigners to fill the corridors of medical school. So I applied to 7 medical schools. I got it waitlisted at all 7. That's That's amazing. I got waitlisted at 7 medical schools. And not a single one of them followed up. And I said to God, I'm going to do this once. I'm going to apply to medical school once. And if it's not meant to be, I want you to close the doors. But I want you to open a door somewhere else. So I apply, waitlisted. All right, God, what do you want me to do? Move to California. That's the land of your anointing. I heard it just as clear as a bell. I move out there. I start working for a guy who is making acidophilus products. Does anybody know what that stuff is? It's little bacteria that make yogurt and things like that. And he had two Mexican guys working for him in a Quonset hut in Oceanside, California. And their idea of making acidophilus liquid was you get a bottle of stuff that is like Milky Way substitute. It's liquid. And then you grow some mother culture that has all this like liquid yogurt stuff in it. And you reach in with a pipette and you suck it up into your mouth and you just... and you do this for 1,000 bottles. And then you close them up, you put them in the incubator for 24 hours, and then you put a label on them and ship them to all the health food stores across America. Great recipe for success, with the following exception. 98% of them came back within 2 months growing mold on top. There was no sterile technique employed whatsoever. So whatever was in Jose or Jose B's mouth was like in this jar. So it wasn't such a great situation. And my employer said to me, can you fix this? And I said, have you ever heard of sterile technique? No. Let me fix this. So I fixed it. Brought in an inoculator, a series of lamps, air handling systems. It became a laminar flow suite for those people knowledgeable about medicine. And instead of getting 99% of the products back 6 months later, the company went from $100,000 a year to $4 million in the space of 4 years. He then sold the company. I didn't like the new owners and decided, you know what? I'm going to launch on my own. I'm going to start something that I really think God's called me to do, which is look for natural alternatives to dangerous drugs. Because everything God has put here for us to use has a reason. So digitalis comes from the American foxglove plant, but nobody's ever going to tell you that who's selling you digitalis. And you can get the same benefit of aspirin from the bark of the white willow tree, but nobody's going to tell you that either because they don't make any money selling barks of white willow trees. That's how I got my start in my career. I borrowed $5,000 against an old Volvo. And I went out and bought my first machinery from a company that had just been put out of business by the state of California FDA for making amphetamines on nights and weekends. So I bought machines, I rented a truck, I went and got them, and I started my company. And as God is my witness, every step of the way, for every challenge, there was an additional opportunity to grow. Every risk created a reward larger than the risk. But it required one thing. Lord, do you want me to do this or not? It required a relationship with the Messiah, our risen Savior who listens to us and acts as our intercessor with Hashem. But it requires relationship. And I didn't always have a relationship because I had self-doubt. What would I do that would repeat my parents' mistake so that we would end up destitute? What sins of my father or his father's were on the horizon to come back and ruin my day? And as a father today standing before you here, I can only remind you men how important it is to pray for your fathers and their fathers and your sons. Because any generational stuff that sticks is because we're not attending to detail. And men, we have a responsibility to our generation and to those that follow us to learn from our mistakes, to seek Hashem's blessing and healing and relief that only comes from asking for forgiveness and asking for direction. If you think about the ensuing 40 years that I have been in this business, I have seen bankruptcy almost twice, and miraculous things happen. I can remember meeting Jenny Craig. Anybody heard of that name? Lived down the street. My secretary, God bless her, she's at home with the Lord, having suffered from cancer and is long gone. She came into my office one day and said, "Mark, I went to Jenny Craig. They're having difficulty getting their dietary supplements. I think you should call them." That was my lead. "Okay, where's Jenny Craig?" "Well, they're in Carlsbad, California." "Okay, I'm in San Marcos, which is 8 miles away." So I call the Jenny Craig office. I drive over there. It's on top of a bank building somewhere. And I walk in and said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you about solving a problem." I walk in, the only guy I see is Sid Craig. "Well, come on in, young man." And so I sit down with Sid Craig. And Jenny comes in a little bit later and says, "Can you help us? We have a problem. Our problem is these tablets that we're taking aren't dissolving, and we're getting lots and lots of women that are complaining. They go to their radiologist. What's all this string of pearls that you have swallowed that's now inhabiting your intestine?" I said, "I can fix that. We make capsule products." The first order was $400,000. Multiple millions of dollars later, they sold their company. Sid's gone home to be with the Lord. Jenny is retired now. Nestle's paid almost $1 billion for their company. I have sat in meetings with senators and congressmen and former presidents, and I have sat in meetings with staff members who cannot believe that I still walk the floor of my plants and know everybody's first name. As I was preparing for this, I said, "You know, if there's one thing I can leave you, it is men have courage to have faith." Have courage to have faith. Seek integrity above everything else. Because here's what God says. "Righteous is the Lord in every way, steadfast in all his deeds." That's not a typo. We say that here pretty much every Shabbat. "The Lord is close to all who call, to all who call upon God with integrity." I'm calling you men to be men of integrity. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And if your wife or your friend or your mother or father or your brother or sister have had a problem with you or aggravate you, it's time to give that up. It's time to release that anxiety, that fear of failure, that fear of not being whoever somebody made a false declaration over you. And men, if you have children, it's time for you to stop that nonsense right now. Do not speak over your children anything but blessing, encouragement, and honor. Because if you do, you're condemning them. Don't do it. God fulfills the desire of those who fear God, and their cries God hears and delivers them. The Lord guards all who love God, and all the wicked God destroys. The praise of the Lord my mouth will speak, every living thing will bless God's holy name forever. For we will bless the Lord from now until eternity. Hallelujah. I hope this resonates with you. I hope this delivers a bomb inside your heart and inside your spirit, that if you're holding animosity to someone in your life, living or dead, it's time to bring it to the Lord. It's time to have Hashem deliver you from that, just as he delivered Noah and his family from what was probably the most amazing event in human history. Think back for a minute. God brought two of every kind from all around the world to a boat in the middle of nowhere with a ramp that five guys had built over 70, 80, or 90 years. If he can do that, he can fix whatever problem is afflicting you. If you've been given disease, if someone has spoken over you that you are ill, that you are not successful, that you will never be successful, that you're a jerk, that you're unfair, that you're untrue, that you're dishonest, I'm here to break that off right now. So can we do something a little unconditional? Can I ask the two rabbis to come join me for a sec? And guys, I'm just going to ask you as well, if this resonates with you, just stand up. Okay, men, here's how this works. Hashem is in the house. We didn't call this place Ruach Israel for nothing. So by the power that you use to raise Yeshua from the dead, I release the Ruach right now to minister to each of these people standing, to deliver them from fear and anxiety and the abusive words that have been spoken over them, any claims over disease or discomfort or non-success. I break them off of you right now by the power of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach and by His Spirit. And I pray a blessing over you, and I pray renewed life and strength to your bones, to your marrow, to your corpuscles, to every part of your human being. I bless you in the name of Yeshua, and I release healing upon you, upon your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Hashem Yeshua. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel.